So God is on a mission to redeem and reconcile people to Himself. This mission sweeps both history and the globe, and it encompasses regular, ordinary people like you and me. Not just the ones who give sermons, but the ones who listen. Not just paid professionals, but average Joes and Josephinas working a 9-to-5 job. Not just pastors and mission agency leaders, but businessmen and soccer moms. However, if you're honest, you may say that you don't feel much like you are part of God's grand mission. After all, it's Wednesday. Everyone despises Wednesdays. Not only do you have to get the kids ready for school, you just realized you forgot to make their lunches last night. Now you're going to be late to your meeting, and you have to figure out what you're going to tell your boss. After a crazy day at work, you somehow have to figure out how to get the kids to practice on time, and you still don't know what you'll make for dinner. At this point, you are just hoping to get the day wrapped up in time to kick back and watch a little television later tonight. A missionary bearing the hope of the world is not exactly how you would describe yourself. Maybe in theory, but in practice on a random Wednesday, your mind is far from it. Why don't we embrace God's mission? Because, frankly, we have our own mission. We have our own way of calling the shots. We decide what's meaningful or worthwhile and order our lives accordingly. Some people's life mission is to pursue entertainment and comfort. For others, it's security or wealth. For others, it may be rising up the corporate ladder or being the most respected mom in the neighborhood. We like to be the boss of our own lives. This goes back to the sin of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. As we mentioned earlier, Adam and Eve chose to be king and queen of their own kingdom rather than joyfully submitting to the authority of God as king. We may read their story in Genesis chapter 3 and shake our heads, but the fact is that we have all done the exact same thing in one way or another. In light of this, it's not surprising that some of Jesus' first words in his earthly ministry were, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Repent. That word stings our pride. But once we get past that, we realize it oozes with grace because it invites us into something better. Repent, because the kingdom already has a king, and you and I are not it. If we are ever going to get swept up into God's kingdom, we will have to let go of our own ways of seeing and approaching our lives will have to be radically reoriented. The good news of the kingdom. In 21st century United States, we don't exactly have the perfect context for king and kingdom language. In large part, we are more familiar with democracy, in which every voice counts equally. For the vast majority of people throughout history, however, the language of monarchy would ring with weight, because it's exactly what they lived in. In their world, if a king decreed something, it happened. No questions asked. If the king wanted something to become a law, it became a law. There was no system of checks and balances to make sure the king didn't become a tyrant. The idea of living under a monarchy might seem unappealing because you know plenty of stories where power and authority corrupt and cause unthinkable damage. But the hesitation that arises when thinking